trust.
How you doing? This is Ray Winstone, and you're listening to Celluloid Heroes. Crack on.
Hello and welcome to Celluloid Heroes radio show. It is the 21st of April. We're recording on a Thursday this week.
Yeah,
for a change.
A real change. It's usually a Wednesday.
Yeah.
But for some reason it's Thursday.
Yeah, we pushed it back because we had to go and see Attack the Block last night.
Which was fantastic.
It was great fun. Better than I was expecting, and I was expecting a lot. So we'll have that for you pretty soon. We've just got to flick through our notes and stuff and get it all up together. So that's it. That's exciting. We've got loads to get through today. We've got Scream, The Extraordinary Adventures of Adele Blanc-Sec. We've got Beastly, How I Ended This Summer, Your Highness, and the new Winnie the Pooh. So we're going to have to rattle through them pretty fast. Yeah. So if they're a little bit truncated this week, then we apologise. But, you know, we don't want to have a sort of two-hour show. And we've also got Granny. We've got going to reveal the winner of this week's competition. We've got a couple more DVDs that I put into the prize bin that I'll
tell you
about
fantastic.
In a bit. And obviously the chance to win £100,000 as well. The Quizmaster will be revealing our fate, and it's a really stodgy week as well next week. You're on four in a row, aren't you?
I'm on four.
So you don't want to get it this week.
No, thank you.
Not at all.
Not again.
And we'll start, as always, with a song. And this is from a film we talked about last week called Little White Lies. And it's called This Old Heart of Mine by the Isley Brothers.
Okay, that was This Old Heart of Mind, not mine, but Mind, by the Isley Brothers.
No, I think it is Mine. Sorry, that's a spelling mistake.
Oh, it's Heart of Mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Heart of Mind, is that a phrase?
I don't know, but you know, I was just reading off the auto cue.
My mistake.
Hey ho, let's crack on. So the first film I'll be reviewing is Scream.
Yeah.
Or Scream 4.
So it's S-C-R-E-4-M.
Yeah, they substituted an A, 4 for an A.
Sort of looks a little bit like an A, a capital A.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to be clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine.
Are they clever people?
Well, I think they poured all of their intelligence into the poster,
logo.
The damn poster, rather than the screenplay or the directing or, you know, in some occasions, the acting.
So, and we should say you do have a little bit of a childhood phobia of
surrounding
this mask thing.
Ghost face scared the bejesus out of me.
Good.
We don't want to get that bleeper out.
No.
Not this early on. But it scared the bejesus out of me. So, and I think that
just
any
mask
horror
or
film
the films
that
themselves
scares you is a success.
Yeah. But were you scared of the actual mask or because of the original film?
I was scared of the mask. And at my age, when the original came out, I was scared.
Okay. Fine.
But due to Scary Movie and due to number of sequels, the scariness of the mask started to fade.
Yeah, sure.
And it completely faded.
Yeah, I think it's pretty
by
much...
By Scrifum.
By Scrifum, yeah. I think it lost its potency around maybe 3.
Yeah, about halfway through 2.
Yeah.
I'd say it lost its potency. But the whole gang are back. And when I mean the whole gang, I don't just mean Neve Campbell or Nev Campbell. Depending how you pronounce that word. Courtney Cox and David Arquette, back together. Wes Craven, directing again. And Kevin Williamson, who's the writer of all 4 Screams.
Oh, really?
And he also wrote Faculty, and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay. I like The Faculty.
Yeah, well, it was quite fun.
Yeah.
I like Scream. But that's about as far as... my likeness goes for Kevin Williamson at this point. So we're back in Woodsboro. Mm-hmm. Woodsboro High.
Yeah.
Where all the Screams are set. It's 10 years on since Sydney was attacked by Ghostface.
Is that actually Scream 3 was 10 years ago?
No,
from Scream
1
was
10 years from Sydney getting attacked.
And when was 3? So this is...
3 must have been about 7 years, a long time ago.
Yeah.
They came out pretty quickly after the other, and then they stopped.
Okay.
I know that 5, the Incredible Boy Band, did the soundtrack for Scream 3.
Maybe that's where they got the idea for the logo from, because 5 was 5-I-V-E.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
There we go.
Or 5 Alive.
In-depth analysis on Celluloid Heroes. Well.
For you gossipers out there, the first scene you see Courtney Cox and David Arquette together, they are in bed.
Okay.
But Courtney Cox is asleep. And David Arquette, who usually plays Deputy Dewey, is now Sheriff.
Okay.
Okay?
It's coming
and actually, there are 2 new deputies, played by well-known faces, Anthony Anderson and Adam Brody. Otherwise known as Seth from the OC.
Yeah.
And Adam Anderson... ages ago made some burgers in a silly movie. And do you know what I mean by Anthony Anderson?
I don't think so.
He's a big sort of black comedian, got quite a high pitched voice and squeaky and annoying.
Okay. I think
he pops around a lot of these things.
Yeah. Is he not in one of the Fridays?
It could be.
Maybe.
Could be. I haven't actually watched Fridays.
It's the guy I'm thinking of.
They're the new deputies. And the new kids on the block, the teenagers, as if you will, I say that because they're not teenagers in real life. They're a bit older than that. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they are. I don't know. But Lucy Hale is the main actress, and she plays Sherry, Neve Campbell's or Sydney's cousin.
Yeah. Okay.
And she's in her top year, and it's about time. She got picked on by a serial killer. What can I say? So Neve Campbell, or Sydney, has come back 10 years to Woodsboro to release a new book to suggest that she's changed. It's called Out of the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then Into the Light. And while she comes to town, 10 years after the attack, people start getting stabbed in horrific ways again. And it's a sort of whodunit. The formula is exactly the same. In fact, you got your deputies. You got your Sydney character, who's now Sherry. You got her fit friends, who some survive, some don't till the end, and then they die. And you got the 2 film geeks. Rory Culkin is one of them.
Oh, really?
And a guy called Eric Crudson, who's actually in a few films, including Scott Pilgrim. You know, I can't think what he is in Scott Pilgrim, but he's
one of the band.
I don't think so. I think he might be the one of the other bands.
Yeah.
The one who think they're really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead of, you know, their sort of film geekiness, they have a film club, and he has a webcam he always carries. You know, mm-hmm. You probably don't want to be carrying a webcam in a horror film. They think if you're gay, you're not going to die. But I think just don't wear any sort of web merchandise. And the idea is that the serial killer is filming his deaths.
Mm-hmm.
No, new decade, new rules.
Yeah, sure.
Same decade. Well, new decade, same rules, really. It's absolute tripe.
Really?
I mean, Simon Oakes is the chief executive of Hammer Films, and he said, for a horror film to be a scary film, you need to care for the characters.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't care for any of them. I started hating Courtney Cox. She's got really plastic, by the way.
Yeah, she's had a lot of...
She can't frown anymore.
Yeah.
And David Arquette, I mean, he's fine. You don't want him to
die. So what's her actual role in the film?
Well, the wife of Sheriff Dewey. And once, you know, she thinks she's losing her touch. She wants to write a new novel. She's written on all these novels about Sydney. And she wrote the Stab films.
Yeah.
And Stab, you know, the first Stab was what Scream 1 based itself on. And this one, there's Stab 7. In fact, the opening scene is what you think is Scream 4, and then it turns out you're watching Stab 6, and then it goes to the next one, and actually you're watching Stab 7, and then eventually you're in the film, and eventually you are watching Scream. So there we are. But, you know, they reference a lot. Well, when I say reference a lot of horror films, usually when people reference films, they subtly put references in. In this, they just name films.
Okay.
So they name a lot of horror films, which I assume they're, you know, either taking the piss out of. In fact, they name films from Halloween to House of Wax, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But there is one great scene. The best scene in the whole film is when two of the teenage girls are sitting on their sofa bed watching Shaun of the Dead, which is nice.
Really?
Yeah. And then the phone rings and they go, "What, you enjoying the film?" It's like, "You don't know what I'm watching." He's like, "Yeah, I do, Shaun of the Dead."
Really?
Yeah. And that was great. That was the best part of the film.
Yeah.
But generally, it was terrible. And like their attempts, like Kevin Williamson's attempt to suggest the Ghostface as other characters, like is it Sheriff Dewey's partner? Is it the boyfriend? I mean, come on. It's not like we don't care. I don't care who it is. Get to the end, you know, and be done with it. If some goddamn reason you like the other three, you will like this one. But I mean. There's nothing new, and I go back to Simon Oakes. You know, you have to care for these characters if you want to be scared or, you know, want them to live.
Yeah.
I couldn't. The only person I want to live is Hayden Panettiere. You know, I can't pronounce the surname, but, you know, she is in Heroes, the girl, the cheerleader.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's beautiful in this, with her short hair.
You've ogled over her before.
I have. She's got short hair now, and I think short hair's in. Any of you ladies listening out there?
You have just had a haircut.
Yeah, but I'm a bloke. No, females... Short hair's in, so cut it off.
Okay, you heard it there from fashion guru Edward Pryor.
But I'm not going to say anything more about this one.
Sure. All right, then. Well, we'll move on, and I'll rattle through this one. This is quite underpublicised in this country. I knew that Luc Besson was making something, but it sort of turned, you know, came out of nowhere, really. So this is Luc Besson's first film for quite a while. He did those Arthur things, but his first major... released since probably Taxi, the last Taxi, whatever that was. And so this is an adaptation of the graphic novels, which are called The Extraordinary Adventures of Adèle Blanc-Sec.
Okay.
So they're sort of a cross between, like, Indiana Jones and I don't know how you would sort of describe it, really. It's... they're from the 70s, these comic books written by a guy called Jacques Tardy. And they have a beautiful comic book aesthetic. I mean, Luc Besson's always been someone who's been very fascinated with the way things look. And some people have criticised him for being a little bit too sort of style over substance and stuff. But it's lovely and bright. The basic story is that our heroine, Adèle Blanc-Sec, played beautifully by Louise Bourgoigne, who this is her first major film. She's quite famous in France, probably because she's one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life. She's
more beautiful than the Hayden.
Unbelievably good looking. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Blows her out of the water, mate, honestly.
Well,
you're going to get in a grump now.
Well, no, it's just,
Don't you want? I'll show you the trailer in a minute. So yeah, basically, she plays Adele Blanc-Sec, who's a sort of very strong, sort of very like a little bit eccentric heroine who goes. She writes books. She's sort of an adventure journalist. She goes. We have this opening scenes of her in Egypt, in the plundering temples and the pyramids and stuff, and coming against these. I mean, it's Indiana Jones. It owes quite a lot to you. I mean, the villains are very sort of Indiana Jones. It also owes quite a lot to Tintin. It's that same sort of like exploration.
How exciting! How fun!
Yeah, exactly. And so the basic story is that one of her mentors is a scientist who. Has basically developed sort of quite primitive telekinetic powers, so he can like fly things around. And he has this thing where if he concentrates very hard, he can bring life back to things. So he uses his telekineticism to hatch a pterodactyl egg that is in a museum in Paris. This is set in 1912,
okay.
And then this pterodactyl. Hatches and flies all around Paris, sort of causing a bit of chaos. It's all very sort of almost cartoony. You have the constable with the big moustache and the big fat face and stuff, who's always sort of moaning about being hungry. I mean, it's very sort of caricaturey. And the costumes, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a film and thought, you know what, the costumes are really good. But the wardrobe is pretty fantastic, actually. It looks... It just generally, on the whole, looks really nice. I mean, the CGI is used as little as possible, but you can't really make a film where a pterodactyl terrorizing Paris is one of the key themes without using a bit of CGI. So it's sort of, it looks a little bit unrefined, the CGI, like maybe a bit like a sort of BBC drama or something. It doesn't look very Hollywood, but in its sort of in this comic book aesthetic, that's not really too much of a problem. And so it's sort of very far away from his early stuff like La Femme Nikita and stuff, where it's all about colour schemes and stuff. This is very bright, very bouncy, and it sort of zips along at this. You know, it gets every single thing in there. So like 1912 Paris, what do you think of? Burlesque, dancing, Moulin Rouge, pyramids, Titanic, all that sort of thing. I mean, that's all in there. It's all just shoved in. You know, there's not really... It's unashamedly upbeat and sort of idealist in its... sort of sensibility of the way it treats the period and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like joie de vivre, for want of a better phrase, no sort of pun intended. And so this, she's wonderful. She has to, her twin sister is in a sort of catatonic coma due to an incredibly freak accident. So she needs to find this scientist to maybe see if he can bring her back to life. She also wants to bring back the physicians of the pharaoh, bring them back to life. And there's these wonderful scenes where you have armies of all these resurrected mummies and stuff wandering around Paris. Like, it's really odd, but in a fantastic way. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. I think I tweeted when I came out saying that's the most fun I've had in the cinema for quite a long time. The doctor he's called Esperandieu, and he's brilliant. He's just like sort of Doc Brown, but if he was like 100,
okay.
So like even more like sort of senile and weird. And the fact that the plot's so outrageous and stuff, it never really becomes a problem. And it was just great fun, a proper summer adventure movie, like 1,000 times better than sort of Pirates of the Caribbean and stuff. Obviously, owes a lot to that sort of Indiana Jones sort of B movie. Type thing, but with a little bit more. I mean, it does get quite farcical at points, and it's sort of maybe the third act is a little bit stretched out, but it's just great. It's just a romp.
Brilliant.
A romp is the perfect word to describe it.
A French romp homage to Indiana Jones, Tintin, and the like.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We got through that in relatively good time, so I'll just rattle through Beastly before we do movie news and competition, because there's not really too much to say about it. So Beastly...
So glad you watched
it. How I ended up seeing Beastly and not losing this competition is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it was everything up to and including Beastly. I mean, Oh dear. So Daniel Barnes directed it, and this is his third film. He did one that did quite well at Sundance, which was a sort of quite kooky art house film called Phoebe in Wonderland with Elle Fanning that came out a few years ago. Right. So it's basically a reworking of the Beauty and the Beast tale. Okay, modernized. So if you're going to do that, you got to find something new, or you know, something new to bring to the story, because it's been done pretty perfectly in 1991 or whenever it was. I mean, the themes and stuff. I mean, but unfortunately, there's nothing really new. So Alex Pettifer plays Kyle, who is a sort of, you know, incredibly good-looking, very vulgar, arrogant, vain, like young man. His dad's a very successful, rich businessman. He's going for student body president, and they live in this high school in New York. And their high school basically looks like, I don't know, it looks like a sort of contemporary museum, or like a really posh financial exchange place, or like a big bank in the city. Like, yeah. It's ridiculous. No one goes to school in places like that. And so he's running for president. He does this big speech where he's like, everybody loves me because I'm good looking. And if you're going to vote for me just because I'm good looking, then that's enough. Way! And everyone's sort of cheering. Everyone sort of feels they've got to be his friend because he is so popular and stuff.
And loaded.
Exactly.
But maybe
he's not all that. And so we have Mary Kate Olsen, one of the Olsen
twins. One of the twins.
Yeah, she's in it. And she plays this goth that's supposed to be quite ugly and hideous, but she's not really. She's called Kendra, and she's a bit like emo and weird. And she sort of is the only one in the school who stands up to him. She's like, you know, looks very important to you. Like, imagine if he got taken away. And he's like, oh, get out of here, you weird emo freak. And that's basically, you know. And so she puts a curse on him, and he wakes up looking like the Beast. But he doesn't really. He looks still incredibly well-chiseled and sort of has an amazing six-pack. But now he's got sort of scars all over his face and stuff. So this is the latest attempt to turn a teen book franchise into a novel. It's a book by Alex Finn, who is a female. And it's got Neil Patrick Harris, who is the only quite good thing in it. And Vanessa Hudgens, who people know from High School Musical, she's quite good as well.
Yeah. She was in Sucker Punch.
She was, yeah.
She was the slut.
Yeah.
She was Blondie and had black hair.
Yeah, not Hitler's dog.
Not Hitler's dog, yeah.
Good stuff. All right, so his dad basically is very ashamed of him, and he puts him in a house, so under sort of house arrest, basically. And the only way that he can get him to do his schoolwork is to hire a tutor, but because he doesn't want the tutor to see his ugly son, he hires a blind tutor.
Is that
who
Neil
is
Patrick
played
Harris?
By Neil Patrick Harris.
Great.
He basically plays it for, you know,
shits and giggles.
Exactly. I mean, as ridiculous as the whole thing is, really. And so the message isn't so much sort of hammered home as in, like, drilled into your face with a pneumatic drill. I mean, it's unbelievable, really. And Pettifer's acting is still pretty lousy. He's not really helped by a shoddy script and his sort of heavy-handed direction. Luckily, Neil Patrick Harris and Vanessa Hudgens sort of keep it afloat. They're good enough to keep it sort of watchable, and it has, you know, it's just a strangely, oddly directed film. You know, it's directed with the sort of like the same way that a sort of teen girl, like Mean Girls or something like that, would do. Like lots of shots of people walking down high school corridors with like bouncy music in the back and stuff.
Yeah.
So the fact, and you know, it has this big message, which I suppose is, you know, a relatively sound message, like looks aren't everything, blah, 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 blah. And it's nicely shot and stuff. But unfortunately, the fact that Alex Pettifer is making films in Hollywood is for the precise reason that this film so actively contradicts, because he's incredibly good looking and he's pretty talentless. And it's quite forgettable, really. There isn't really that much to say about it. I mean, the search for the next sort of the Twilight successor goes on, really.
Continues.
Yeah, I mean, I think his last one, I Am Number 4, had a lot more weight than this. And there's lots of Lady Gaga in the soundtrack, so that made it even harder.
Are we going to listen to some Lady Gaga later?
We're not, no. Oh, no, I couldn't find any clearable versions, unfortunately. Oh. So there we go.
That's the end of that.
But go and see Luc Besson's The Extraordinary Adventures of Adèle Blanc-Seac.
Good stuff.
Okay, right, well, we are rattling through these, so we will crack on. This song was also in Beastly, And I haven't heard this. I couldn't even remember who it was by because I haven't heard it for so long. But this, do you remember the Vines?
I do. New Zealand Australian band. Oh, New Zealand.
Yeah, I think they were Kiwi. And this is a song called Get Free. That was some Antipodean whining from the Vines.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah, not the song.
Wine, Vine.
I didn't get it.
Good joke there. It's time for the movie news.
This is the news.
Surrounding film.
Okay, loads and loads of movie news. Not to mention, well, loads of trailers out this week.
Yeah, trailer watch.
Yeah. So do you want to go through yours first?
Yeah, I'll quickly rattle like some
snake.
Some varieties of snake might. The Rise of the Planet of the Apes. The trailer is out, starring amongst others James Franco. And it's the prequel.
Yeah, yeah.
It's to suggest why there was ever such a planet full of apes.
Yeah.
And not to spoil anything.
And
but
he's a sort of immoral scientist, isn't he?
He is.
And who's directing this?
Rupert Wyatt, I think.
I don't think he's done anything before.
No.
It's a lot of money to play with. That's the second time they've done that, because Tron they did that with as well.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm sure it'll be better than Tim Burton's Stinkfest.
Well, yeah, it probably will be, but only just. Anyway, so that's out. So check that out. I think you saw this as well. The change-up.
Yes, this is Celluloid Hero's favourite, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
And
Jason Bateman, who I do like.
Jason Bateman is in real danger of just getting into becoming one of these actors who just reels out mediocre, like low-budget American comedies.
The thing is, I think he's too nice.
Yeah.
And it didn't turn him down.
He needs to make the Arrested Development film.
Yeah, get on with it. But no, you know, essentially it's Freaky Friday, or what's the original when they changed?
No, not Parent Trap.
What's it called? It's got no one famous in.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, you know that one. Anyway, the
Face Off.
Not Face Off, but Change Up. Ryan Reynolds, single man, has lots of fun with women. Jason Bateman got twins and married.
Yeah.
And they wish, I wish I had your life, while they're pissing into
and
a fountain.
And then, cha-ching!
Next day, you know the rest. So that's out.
Void.
Have you heard of The Perfect Host?
I have not, no. You gave me a little tease about
it. I gave you a tease about it as an actor and you might like. Well, The Perfect Host is played by David Hyde Pierce.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah.
And it's essentially about a bank robber who's fleeing from the police, and he hides. He breaks into this house, and the house is David Hyde Pierce. He goes, "You got to keep me here. But turns out it's the last person who Yeah. We want to keep him here because he basically chains them up and does horrible stuff to him. So that's out.
So it's pretty. It's a horror film.
Well, no, it's more of a coming of age sort of horror comedy, sort of black comedy.
Mm. How's that... David High Pierce doing in the hair department in the street?
Oh, he's practically bald.
Pretty much gone.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
So Passion Plays, the other trailer I've seen. It's sort of an indie film starring Risa Fans, Bill Murray, and Mickey Rourke, and Megan Fox. One of my favourites, and it's a very sort of dark. The trailer suggests it's a sort of dark film about a circus, I think, run by Risa Fans, and they have an angel, who's played by Megan Fox, and I think Mickey Rourke falls in love with him or her, and that's the story about that.
Okay, sounds odd.
So it looks odd. Do you want to talk about Terry?
Yeah, well, Terry is he is another person who does pretty much exclusively these types of films. It's John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
And he plays a headmaster who seems to be a little bit oppressed by the bureaucracy of his high school that he is in. And he sort of befriends, is that the right word, this very fat little boy.
For
want of a better word. A big fat boy.
Who wears pyjamas.
Yeah, it looks quite like another one with the one where the high school teacher playing by Paul Giamatti. Have you seen that one?
No.
That's also coming out quite soon. They look very
similar. Oh, Win-Win.
Win-Win, yeah.
Okay. There's also not a biopic about the England captain?
No.
That will be a good film if he dies at the end.
There is also Damned is being cinematically released.
What?
Not Damned. United.
United.
I was thinking. Yeah. I know you're it's one of the words of that film.
Well, that comes out on BBC this Sunday. You should watch it.
Yeah. It's also getting a cinematic
that's
release.
That's good. That shows how good it is.
Is about the Busby Babes.
Yeah, the aftermath. Like Busby's getting better. Okay, so Will Ferrell's new comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, this the ones that he basically writes and gets his mates to direct. It's Casa de mi Padre, Spanish, I don't know what for.
My dad's house,
there we are. And, probably the house of my father.
Yeah. I was just, you know, when you speak as good as Spanish as me, you can sort of mess around with a bit, you know, a bit of artistic license.
Well, it's completely in Spanish. So Ferrell is, you know, he's gone all out on this. It's completely subtitled.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Which is quite funny, but obviously he'll do.
You pulling my leg?
No, I'm not. No.
Right, okay.
It could be interesting, you know. This, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to his other one.
Yeah, we are both. And quickly before I move on, I saw a featurette on Bridesmaids. Remember, I was talking about.
Yes, this is the Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig, who I love.
It's Judd Apatow, isn't it?
It could be. I don't know, but all I say is it looks less like your typical, you know, girly comedy and more of a bit more rude and farcical, which is only a good thing, but not necessarily a great thing.
Okay,
that's all I've got.
Okay, but there's a couple more on here. Larry Crown, we've already talked about. Dolphin Tale,
Morgan Freeman.
Dolphin Tale looks bad.
Okay.
It is by the producers, like from the producers that brought you The Blind Side, and you know what was the other one about the stupid horse?
Seabiscuit,
yeah. So that's, and it's about an inventor, a mad inventor against the odds, who made a new tail for a dolphin after they told it that the dolphin was never going to swim again. It is the most, like, insulin on standby.
Right.
It's the most sickly sweet thing I've ever... Oh, dear, it looks awful. It also has OC Sandy Bloke in it.
OC Sandy.
Sandy in the OC.
Oh, great, yeah.
And it's, you know... It's like Free Willy, but just more sentimental, like buckets and buckets of sentimentality. I mean, honestly, that of all the trailers I've seen this year, that's the one I would really, really want to avoid like the plague. So bear that in mind when that week comes.
Okay, yeah, that will be an interesting forfeit. And quickly, I forgot to say that Mr. Popper's Penguins full trailer is released.
Oh, brilliant.
I think they're there magically.
Yeah.
I think it's the only thing I got apart from, you know, Jim Carrey's really clutching at straws.
Sure. And there's one more, which is called Abduction, which is starring Taylor Lautner and quite a good cast, actually. Sigourney Weaver's in it. Jason Isaacs is in it. Fred Molina is in it. It should be quite good. It's basically about a guy who lives with his parents, finds out he's adopted, and when he questions it, all hell breaks loose. It looks like it could go either way. It could be a good little action romp, or it could be terrible. Salt.
Yeah.
Okay. So on to a little bit of movie news. A new film called Swinging with the Frinkles, or Finkles.
Okay.
Have you seen this? This is Mandy Moore and Martin Freeman's new rom-com about a sort of London couple that the spark's gone out of their marriage, you see. So I think, from the title, I think maybe they might start going to swingers parties, sort of Eyes Wide Shut-esque sort of thing. So who knows?
You never know with that.
You know. Also, Robert Zemeckis seems to... I think he doesn't really like directing live action anymore, but apparently he's going to be directing a new film with starring Denzel Washington called Flight. But we don't know too much about that yet, but that's quite interesting. And lastly, a bit of Dark Knight Rises. We've already confirmed that Marianne Cotillard and Joseph Gordon-Levitt are going to be in it, but people were speculating to what their roles would be. Yeah. Would they were they're not from the comic book series, so they're new characters.
Okay.
Marianne Cotillard plays a Wayne Enterprises executive called Miranda Tate, who sort of helps him to get over his grieving of... What's her face? Maggie Gyllenhaal, stroke, Tom Cruise, mad one. What's she called? Katie Holmes.
Rachel.
Rachel!
Yeah. And JGL, as I call him, will be playing John Blake, who is a policeman sent on a specific task by Commissioner Gordon. So that's all we know. But I think it's good that they're not trying to pack more villains. Yeah. It could have got like Spider-Man 3-itis, where there's just like villains bloody everywhere.
Fly out your nostrils.
It gets a bit confusing. So that's it for the movie news. Right, it's competition time.
Yeah.
Card. Okay, competition time. Edward's got a confession.
I've got a confession to make. Because we're doing the show on a Thursday evening, completely different timing, different schedule. On my Wednesday when I do it, I've got a very strict routine. Come to the tube station, get a sandwich from the local supermarket, go into the post office, buy a scratch card, get an iced tea, peach iced tea, or something like that, or Yazoo, as you might have heard me drink before, and come here
more gloopy
and get on with it. But today I didn't. I strolled in the afternoon after a little.
You
after
did look
my
very cocksure walking around in the London sunshine.
Yeah, enjoying it, and I
strutting through South London.
I strutted through, and I completely forgot to buy a scratch card, which, if you're a regular listener, doesn't really matter because we never win them anyway.
Yeah.
And also, we're giving DVDs out this week. So, and
I'll
we're
tell
on a
you
bit
what
of
I'm
going to
do,
constraint.
Though. I'm going to pop a unscratched one in the box of the DVD that whoever wins.
Some of them are scratched, are they? Some of the DVDs are scratched.
No, unscratched card.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
No, but there is one problem with one of the DVDs, but I'll explain.
If you pick it up.
Yeah, the bonus features disc is missing. But, you know, get what you're given.
Yeah.
It's a bloody good film.
So I'm sorry about that. We'll pop an unscratched one in your DVD and we'll also double up next week.
Sure. All right. Okay. Well, this is the clip that we gave you this week. So try and have a listen. And, well, you don't need to tell us who you think it is. You've already done that. But just remind ourselves of it.
I'm not one to pry into a man's personal affairs, but exactly how is it that you came to be way out here without a horse or boots? Or a hat.
Of course, that was Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future Part 3 playing Seamus McFly.
Seamus.
Yeah, with a pretty dreadful accent.
Shameful,
yes. Like, getting quite good at that. We had a pitiful one last week, a shameful one. Okay, so do you want to take a name
out of
that?
Rattling is me, the answers,
glory
and
hat.
I'm going to pick one out.
Sure.
William Patterson.
Okay.
Congratulations, William. Brother of Robert, apparently.
Perhaps. Who
Maybe.
Knows?
You never know.
Or, you know, some sort of distant relative. All right, close your eyes, because I've got to give these a little
I'm
shuffle.
I'm closing my eyes.
It's quite hard to shuffle DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
We've got lots in there. And we've also got lots of good ones in there now.
Yeah.
There is one. There's only one real, maybe two real stinkers.
I'm going to add some more stinkers in next
week. Sure. Okay. Do you want to grab one? It is
Reservoir Dogs. Lucky, lucky little boy, William. So unless you don't have it, well, tough. If you have it already, you can give it away to someone else.
Yeah, we'll pop that in the post to you then with a scratch card.
But well done there.
I'm sure you would have seen it.
Another good one.
It's obviously a modern classic.
It's a modern classic.
Okay.
Great film. Well done.
Perfect.
William.
All right. Well done. We'll give you the question as well for next week. So
yeah.
If you think you know who this is, then get in touch by the usual channels. Have a listen to this.
Don't come down here with your anger, trying to prove something to yourself. This is a world you never understand, and you always fear. What you don't understand.
Ooh, spooky stuff there.
Yeah.
So if you think you know who that is, then or if you want to listen to it again, go to celluloidheroesradio.com/competition, and there's a little form you can fill out, or you can get in touch via Twitter, which is @mycelluloidhero. Do send us a direct message, because otherwise people can see them. If we're not following you, then drop us a mention, and we will follow you back.
Yeah.
Or Facebook, or whatever is easiest, really, as you can pop around if you want. Cracking. All right, then. We'll get on with the show. We'll listen to another song. This is a nice short one.
Oh, I like this song.
And it's called... Thank you very much, Sexper Bomb. That was called We Are Sexper Bomb from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, of course.
Yes.
Right, we'll crack on with the remaining reviews then. I'm going to talk a little bit about a film by Alexei Popogrebsky. Well pronounced.
Is he foreign?
He is Russian, yes.
Russian.
And this is called How I Ended This Summer. It's a bit of a funny title, but all will become clear. So this is a film about two Russian men. One is a graduate, and the other one is a sort of veteran meteorologist, and both of them are working on a sort of very isolated meteorological station on an uninhabited island in the Arctic Circle.
Right.
So the graduate is doing it as a sort of scheme, we assume, and the older guy, he's been there for years and years. They do bigs, they call them a tour. You sit, you're there for 6 months at a time or something. All you do is ring up once a day and read out the sort of readings. You get from your isotope machines and all this sort of stuff.
While they're in the Arctic Circle, was there a granny floating around? An old lady sort of floating around in the sea?
No.
Never mind.
Why do you ask?
I asked that because some poor old lady fell in the Arctic Sea.
Oh, really?
On a cruise.
Recently?
Yeah, it was in the sun today.
Brrr.
Yeah. She didn't die.
She didn't die.
Crazy.
Oh, how strange.
She should have.
Anyway, this film predates that unfortunate incident. The basic the story, as far as there is one, without wanting to give anything away, is that the old sort of veteran is quite grumpy and a little bit resentful of this very sort of flashy you know, annoying little graduate sort of thing. The same way that you get treated if you're a student in, say, Newcastle or Leeds, by the general public. So basically, they have very different ways of dealing with it. He, the young guy, the graduate, is called Daniel, or the Damilov, actually. And he has just always got his headphones in. He's sort of, you know, very sort of in his own little world, plays computer games. The other guy is just so au fait with the whole thing. He's just, you know, that's, it's just like his life, really. And so one day, Sergei, the other guy, goes off on an unauthorized fishing trip. During this time, the Damilov takes a message from the people who ring them up, or whatever. I don't know what they're called. I'm not a meteorologist.
No.
And says, this terrible thing has happened. You have to tell Sergei. We're sending a helicopter to come and pick you up. It won't be there for 5 days. And so he doesn't tell him, or struggles to tell him, because he can't find the right time. You do, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. And so it's all about this sort of tension and this sort of bubbling over of sort of little differences and deception and stuff like that, until it goes into this huge climax at the end. And they're the only two actors in the film, and they're both astoundingly good. They shared the Best Actor prize at the Berlin Film Festival last year.
Liberal.
Exactly. And so, yes, the isolation and the sort of Baltic conditions are so brilliantly done. I mean, it's so bleak and tangible. I was in the cinema almost shivering.
Oh, great.
The sound of the wind and stuff like that is so, so cold. It just looks ridiculous. It's basically about sort of procrastination and these little lies that people say, and it's in this very uncomfortable, claustrophobic situation. So the cinematography is very open and cold. It's all big, long shots with, you know, cameras moving very slowly. It's not very dialogue heavy. Mm. And it's not really a work that does it all for you as well. You know, there's a lot of room for interpretation. It's very intelligent film, but it does leave certain things open-ended, but, you know, why should it be?
It seems a hard film to watch.
I mean, it's not really. I mean, it's intense, but it's not hard to watch,
Algiers,
exactly.
Something like that.
So basically, I mean, it's shot and acted so absolutely superbly, and it's sort of a cross between a sort of art-housey film and a sort of psychological thriller. I mean, what it does remind me of quite a lot is Moon.
Okay.
Because it has that sense of, you know, complete and utter isolation.
Yeah.
And that your family and stuff, like, they might as well be on a different planet.
Sure.
Because they're so far away. Whereas Sam Rockwell had Kevin Spacey's computer to talk to. They don't even have that, really. So it is open-ended to a certain extent, but all the usual sort of human psyche under various forms of excruciating strain and stuff. It's very sort of provocative. It will be something you'll go away thinking about. I mean, it's not really the most accessible thing. If you don't like these sort of things, then
don't watch it.
Perhaps don't watch it. But it is really, really good. I mean, it's a solid 4-star.
Okay.
I wouldn't give it the extra 5, just because maybe its audience is a little bit too niche. And I think for a 5-star, it's got to be a
encapsulate
blockbuster,
every
a belter.
Audience,
yeah.
Every
but it's brilliant performances and beautifully shot. And I very much recommend it if you're a fan of foreign
cinema.
There
we are. So we've got some good
cinema.
Films for a shame.
Lots out, yeah.
Remember last week, we had no good films.
I can't remember what our film of the week was, but it was pretty awful.
I don't think we put one up.
Okay, well, talking of...
Well, hey, I haven't said anything about Your Highness yet. Your Highness is Danny McBride's new film.
Mm-hmm.
He's usually...
the director of...
No, Danny McBride is the main character. He wrote as well.
Yeah,
sure. He's usually sort of a supporting character. It's directed by David Gordon Green, who hasn't directed much, but directed Pineapple Express, which a lot of people love. Mm-hmm. I mean, we found out that Danny Boyle loved it.
Stupid people.
Well, we can't call Danny Boyle stupid.
He
liked it, so he gave it to James Franco. Natalie Portman liked it so much she wanted to be in their next film,
mm-hmm.
which is why she's in this. She plays a character called Isabel. And basically, it's a sort of Excalibur, you know, fairy tale land where anything can happen. Yeah. You know, sort of very Middle Earth, middle aged.
It seems to be very reminiscent of The Princess Bride.
Yeah, all those sort of films they loved in the 80s. They wanted to create. And
but now they say the F word.
But yeah, a lot. And Danny McBride wrote this. I'll come back to him in a second.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Thaddeus, and his brother is played by James Franco, and he's called Fabius. And they're two brothers of the king, who owns all the kingdom, whatever. Yeah. And Fabius Franco is a fantastic warrior. He goes on these great missions, kills minotaurs, this left, right, and says cyclopses and all that. And Thaddeus says, you know, this bums about with his court jester played by Rasmus Hardacre,
mm-hmm.
who you might remember from Saxondale or...
the kid.
Yeah, the kid.
And he's also in Curb Your Enthusiasm ripoff.
Yeah, exactly.
What's it called? Lead Balloon.
Lead Balloon, yeah. Too right. And he's actually quite funny in it. And he plays his sort of, what do you call them, a minion or whatever. And James Franco's minion is played by Toby Jones, which is nice to see him. Justin Theroux plays the evil wizard Lizar.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, on Franco's last expedition, he falls in love with a damsel in distress called Belladonna, and she's played by Zoe Deschanel, or whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to try pronounce the name right. And he's really happy and about to get married. Evil wizard Lizar comes in, steals Belladonna, mm-hmm. and takes her away because she needs to make love with him when the two moons meet. And that's actually, you know, James Franco, all Fabius, is distraught. So his father says, well, you go and get her back. And you, Thaddeus, or Danny McBride, you bloody go with her because you do nothing. You know, if you don't go with her and you don't get her back, I'm going to banish you. And he's like, oh, dear, in slightly more harsher words. A couple of other people in the film. James Franco has three sort of knights with him. They all work together. And the head of those three is played by Damian Lewis,
mm-hmm.
who I love.
He hasn't been around for a while.
No, but he was great. I mean, he's all right in this. I think he's got very, very dry, which is useful in comedies, but it doesn't really work. I mean, it's just absolute trash, this film. I've got to say, Danny McBride, he said in a recent interview that, you know, his love of these sort of films in the 80s made him want to do this film. He said, his actual words, I wanted to do what Simon Pegg and Nick Frost did with Shaun the Dead, though Nick Frost has acted in it.
Yeah.
But he wanted to do what Simon Pegg, Nick Frost did with Shaun the Dead, sort of a homage. He didn't want to be a comedy about the times. He wanted to do a film, a sort of fantasy film, but
it's
funny.
But the difference is that sort of Shaun of the Dead is a genre piece that has turned into a comedy, but they're sort of doing a sort of comic homage to films that are already comedies.
Yeah, they're sort of a family more than comedy. I say there's comedy in them, but anyway, they got it completely wrong because they don't understand, because this is a comedy before it's anything else. Yeah. Because there's, you know, stuff like there's a mechanical bird that James Franco has, you know, who's his best mate, but that you wouldn't see that, at all. And there's this, the language.
You wouldn't see what?
A mechanical bird in a
careful. Clash of the Titans has a mechanical owl in it.
Oh, well, that's where they did it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe I should have watched Clash of the Titans again. Okay, but look, I'll start again. No, the language they use is bad. Basically, I'm not going back on the fact that they wrote this as a comedy before they wrote this as a homage.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a big mistake. It's very childish comedy. It's all tits and pee and poo and all that. You know, it's... The language is pathetic. But he wrote it with Ben Best, and they've written everything together. Well, they've written two things. The Foot Fist Way, which is Danny McBride starring as some sort of like wrestler or whatever, and Eastbound and Down, which is like an American comedy series, which they did. I haven't seen that. I can't rate that.
Yeah.
But that you know, if there's anything like Your Highness, it's not going to be good. The best thing about this film is Ireland, where it's set. Some lovely shots of Ireland, but generally it's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, Natalie Portman's English accent slightly got better. The Franco and McBride don't really care about it. It's more about the comedy. Now, Franco strolls along without doing anything wrong, you know, he just has to smile, and even I will, you know, sort of a blush.
Yeah, it's not a very good thing to mime quotation marks on the radio, by
I
the
didn't.
Way. That doesn't come across.
I didn't.
You did. You went comedy with the quotation
marks. Oh, did I? Oh, sorry. Well, yeah. Quotation marks, comedy.
I'll just go quotation marks when
okay.
you do it.
Oh, that'll be handy. Nothing else. I summed this up. In future, when Danny McBride should... In future, Danny McBride should write his films and then get them rewritten by an adult. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's,
okay.
That's, yeah. And it might be funny.
So it could have benefited from a little bit of script editing.
Massively.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right, then. Well, Justin Theroux should have helped out because he does script editing.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to our final film. This is the new Winnie the Pooh.
Great.
Which is not called Pooh's Heffalump Movie, Tigger's Trip to Bengal or whatever they're called these days. It's just called Winnie the Pooh. So it's sort of a... They're taking it back. They're getting rid of all the rubbishy American cartoon
spin-offs.
Series, blah, blah, blah. It's going back to hand-drawn animation and,
That's its best.
Well, we'll see. So before we start, I'll say I love Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh and me are pretty separated, when...
You're good fun. You're good friends.
Yeah, at birth, not so much. But, the stories are a huge part of my life and stuff, so... Yeah. I really don't like to see Pooh manhandled.
Okay.
That is an odd sentence.
Yeah. But it works.
Yeah. So let's see if they've been manhandling their Pooh. This is directed by Stephen Anderson, who's been at Disney for a long time. Credits go back to sort of a lot of the 90s, things like Aladdin, Mulan, which is awful. And all the voices are pretty much there. So Jim Cummings, who... does Pooh and Tigger and has done for years and years and years. And it's narrated by John Cleese.
Oh, brilliant. That's a nice start, isn't
and
it?
Yeah, I didn't know that at all before I walked. So I sat down. It's only, I think it's 68 minutes long or something, 72 minutes long. And it starts with the old Winnie the Pooh music and stuff, all re-recorded and stuff. But like the original films, like The House at Pooh Corner, which was the first one they did, where they're all sort of walking around the book and stuff. So they walk from page to page and they use the letters to sort of, they can pick up the letters and throw them around. And if you're at all like confused as to what the tone is, I've got a little clip of it here and this pretty much sums up.
Pooh left feeling unsatisfied and a little out of sorts. In fact, he was so distracted by his rumbly tummy that he didn't notice that he was walking onto the next paragraph.
What is a paragraph?
It's a group of sentences that form a complete thought.
Is there honey in this paragraph?
Oh, sorry, Pooh, no.
So that's pretty much the tone of the whole thing. So very, very warm and sort of cuddly.
Unless,
and stuff.
Obviously, because unless he really wants some honey and then sort of gags.
Goes on
please.
A rampage. I mean, bears are very aggressive animals.
They are aggressive, yeah.
I would like to see Pooh's claws
he
maybe
tears John Cleese's
in
the
late night edition. Yeah, yeah sure. Like Friendly Ben in The Simpsons. all that stuff's there. The stories are all taken from the original books. The first Winnie the Pooh, 100 Acre Wood, House of Pooh Corner. So we have all the a few tales that we've seen before, like Eeyore losing his tail, Chris Robin having a competition to get his tail back, Tigger teaching Eeyore how to be a Tigger. You have all the, Tiggers, blah, 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 bouncy, 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 fun. All that stuff's in there. And I think Eeyore, for my money, is the greatest fictional character ever created.
Okay.
I just love Eeyore. I mean, I was the oldest person there by 20 years.
Okay.
At least. And I just can't help laughing my head off at Eeyore. He's just brilliant. I absolutely love him.
Fair enough.
So this whole tone and the whole plot is very gentle and completely unthreatening. And it's essential U certificate stuff. It's very much aimed at small children. And there's not really much in there for the adults or really anyone over 10. And it's a proper relic in sort of every aspect of its production.
Yeah.
And it's fun for people who know the books because you can spot, where the certain films are from. There's also a lot of text that you can read and stuff, which is nice if you're overly familiar with the source of typical. But it's gorgeous and it's warm. It's brilliantly... The voice acting is brilliant. The drawings are just lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, hand-drawn animation, it's just... We really don't see enough of it. Mm. And it just shows how things like the late Shek films and so it shows them up for what they are, really.
Yeah.
And I think Disney should produce these films as a public service.
Fair enough.
Because all children should watch this. I mean, it's just the most wholesome, good-natured. I mean, I absolutely loved it. And the only way that I could have been in that cinema without getting very sort of suspicious letters or whatever would be to be a film critic. And it's just an absolute pleasure. I wanted it to go on for hours.
Okay, that's great.
Loved it.
Pooh fans?
Yeah.
Go and see it.
Okay, then. Right, well, we will crack on with the Stinking Stonker. We've got Granny to come, the DVD reviews, and the Quizmaster, all to try and squeeze into the next half an hour. So we'll get cracking with the next song. And this is from Billy Elliot, which was on TV last week. Mm-hmm. Or was it 2 weeks ago? It's by T-Rex, Mark Bone and T-Rex, and it's called I Love to Boogie. Okay, that was T-Rex with I Love to Boogie, song maybe written by Jules Holland. He likes to boogie quite a lot.
A great wedding song for your first dance.
Really?
For some.
I'm going to have Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now by the Smiths. Okay, brilliant. Well, let's crack on with Stinker and Stonker.
I'm Stonker. I'm a Stinker. What's a Stonker? Mr. Stinker.
Okay, a slightly higher honk this week for you. Okay, stuff. Right, let's crack on. We'll rattle through these.
Right, what do you want?
Stinkers first, please.
Okay.
Bob.
Now, it's Easter weekend.
Yeah.
And there's also something coming up on the horizon. So there's no guess what the theme might be with some of these films.
Sure.
But I'll start off with, and I'm doing from Thursday evening but to Tuesday, so we can go back to normal Wednesday. Okay, so Wednesday, whatever's on, tough. Stinkers, at 10:45 this evening.
Thursday evening
is American Dreams on ITV2.
Ah, okay, with Hugh Grant.
And this is the first of a series that might suggest there's something on the horizon. At 3:10 p.m. on must be Friday, is Princess Diaries 2.
I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, it did. It's got Julia Andrews in. It's on BBC One. Then on Friday at 9 o'clock is Maid of Honor.
Oh dear.
It's a pun, that's on Channel 5.
So that's
5.
Our second grunt.
Yeah, your second grunt and your second I know where I might be going. Sunday, 2:40, is Home Alone 3 on Channel 4.
That is terrible.
And if you watch 5 minutes of that and think it's awful, do not change to 5-star, because you'll get Beverly Hills Ninja.
Oh my goodness.
Which
what
is
the
Chris
is
Farley.
Really?
Yeah.
Just on his own?
Yeah, being a ninja. Beverly Hills, oh, it's terrible. And then at 3:55 on Channel 5 is the premiere
Network
of Will
premiere.
And Kate the movie.
Now, I was going to bring this up in the movie news, but I forgot about it. Have you seen the trailer?
I have. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
There's lots of speculation that it's actually going to become a huge hit just because it's so dreadful. And the guy that they've got playing Prince William looks... He looks like Lurch from the Addams Family. Oh my! I have to say, I might well be watching it. What time do you say it was on?
It's on 3:55
on Sunday.
On Sunday, Easter Sunday.
Okay.
Okay. At 5:55, straight after almost, is Bewitched.
Yeah.
On Channel 5 as well. At 10:50 in the evening is The Whole 10 Yards on ITV2.
That's terrible.
And then on Monday at 7:20 is Jumper.
Jumper, Alex Pettit, Jamie Bell, and Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, Darth Vader.
The worst actor in the world.
Yeah.
Someone had a go at me this week because he said that I'm a bit too hyperbolic on this show. I keep saying that things are the worst I've ever seen or the worst actor in the world. So let's set the record straight. Catwoman is the worst film I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And Hayden Christensen is the worst actor in the world ever, ever.
Okay, there we are.
That's straightened out.
You just need the worst actress, and you can mull over that.
So Jumper's the last one, isn't
it? That's Jumper, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go with Will and Kate, The Royal Wedding.
Without even seeing it, that's a bit harsh.
No, but I think it might be Stonker of the Week as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa, headphones nearly came off.
Your headphones are off. I'm not going to go for that, actually, because I haven't seen it. That is the rule. Yeah. I'm going to go for American Dreams with a Z.
Okay. Stonkers.
Yeah.
On Thursday at 9 p.m. on Film 4 is French Connection 2.
Okay.
Equally as good, some might say.
Yeah.
And then on 11:20 the same evening on Film 4 is Trainspotting.
Yeah.
On Friday at 4:40 in the afternoon on Film 4 is The African Queen.
Ooh.
7:10 on BBC 3 is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh, and I will stop here with an asterisk. BBC 3
asterisk.
Asterisk from
asterisk.
Look, from Gaulois, France.
Gaulois? That's a cigarette.
Yeah.
Gaul. Yeah, there we go.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, they're all on. They're spread out over over the Easter. Sure. Okay.
Well, Raiders is
so
the best,
choose your favourite.
My favourite is Temple of Doom, but Raiders is
that,
the best.
That comes next. That's probably on the Saturday. Sure. I haven't put any others in because I don't
have
enough paper.
Are they doing The Kingdom of the...
They are, yeah.
Awful title.
Yeah, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull or whatever it's called. 9 o'clock on Film 4. One of the funniest films ever made, in my view, Team America, World Police.
Yeah.
9 p.m. on 5 USA is Last of the Mohicans.
Mm-hmm.
And 11:35 on ITV4 is Blues Brothers.
Okay.
Then we hit Saturday. There's only one on Saturday. It's 9 o'clock on Film 4. It's No Country for Old Men.
Okay.
On Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on E4 is Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, get it.
Then at 7:50 on Channel 5 is Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Then at 10 o'clock on Channel 4 is Elizabeth. They're getting that sort of horizon thing
Regal.
Again. Yeah. And then 11:20 on Film 4 is Fight Club.
Okay.
Then on Monday at 11:05 is Sexy Beast on Film 4.
Okay, I like Sexy Beast.
And 11:15 on BBC 2 on Monday is A Hard Day's Night.
Ooh.
And on Tuesday at 11:10 on Film 4 is Jackie Brown.
Okay. I really like Jackie Brown. Jackie Brown is also in the DVD bag.
Ooh.
So if you can guess that question, who knows, next week you could have the second Tarantino.
So don't watch that on Tuesday.
In the bag. Right, what am I going to go for? I mean, there's lots of good stuff there.
It's a good, good Stonker. Good Stonker list, that.
Personally, if I had to watch one of them now, I would probably watch Ghostbusters.
Okay.
So I'll go for Ghostbusters.
When you had the sort of similar reaction when I saw Fight Club down there.
Yeah, I haven't seen it for a long time.
So maybe,
but the thing is, it's one of those films that as soon as I stick it on, I'm like, okay, I know every single scene
and every
shot
line
and frame.
And that's the problem with Team America. It's like you think you haven't seen it for ages. You'll watch it, and before you know it, you're quoting every single line.
Yeah.
African Queen, if you haven't seen it, is a good old
I've
classic.
Seen it. I've been on the boat trip.
Have you?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Quite boring and hot.
Okay, good. Well, there we are.
Brilliant.
So it goes to, and my, so my other asterisk.
Yeah, nearly better.
Is my I've talked about it before. It's my favourite 80s romp. It's Tango and Cash on ITV4 at 9 o'clock.
Okay, brilliant. There's also a new series of Doctor Who starting.
New series of Doctor Who, and United is on at 9 o'clock on Sunday on BBC 2, which is the Matt Busby thing we were talking about earlier.
Okay, perfect. Oh, that was loud earlier. Right, okay, let's do the DVD top 10 then quickly.
Rattle through them.
Right,
10.
In at number 10. Down, well, up from 29. It's been out for quite a while. This is The Girl Who Played with Fire, which is the second in the Girl trilogy.
But it's no surprise when that's there. That's what comes with it.
Was the third one coming out?
The third one is new this week.
Okay. Well, it won't be in the chart just yet. But yeah, it's good. It's the weakest of the three. But, you know, you've got to watch all three. Number 9, it's still there. Down 2 is Alice in Wonderland, the animated Walt Disney. There's a buy one, get one free thing, which pretty much explains 8 too.
Yeah, Toy Story 3.
Obviously is lovely. 7, Despicable Me.
Yeah, it's been there for a while now. 8 weeks running.
6, new entry. I mean, who's been buying this?
What, I know.
Absolute nutcase has gone out and bought this.
Idiots.
Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahoo, which is Zack Snyder's just, oh dear, what on earth was that? 5, back up there. It's definitely, I don't know why. But
it took a long time, but now it's there.
It's his 20th week in the chart. It is Inception. Number 4, Megamind. Number 3, this is good, Gareth Edwards, Monsters.
You enjoyed that, didn't
you? Yeah, new entry. Yeah, I really like it, actually. It's a really great film. It's the... You know, another of the new wave sort of British independent and sort of alien movies.
Yeah.
Quite similar to Attack the Block, really.
Oh, good.
Which Attack the Block we will be reviewing at a later date. Number 2, of course, the aforementioned The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, the concluding part
of
Stieg Larsson's
Courage.
Is that the
best of the three, or is the first
the best? No, the first one's the best.
Okay.
And this is...
second best.
Second best, yeah, obviously. And number 1, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, which is no surprise. I'm sure it's going to be there a long time.
A long time.
Out in time for... It's not far away now, is it?
It's not far away. I'm not watching that film again until the second one comes out. And I think I'll almost just do it back to back.
I mean, it was all right. It was overly long. It was baggy and it had silly bits in it.
But,
you know, if you like Potter, then you like this.
Potter.
Harry Potter! Okay, right. We're nearly done.
Well,
we'll have one more song and then we'll do the Quizmaster and then we'll get out of your hair. But until then, we'll listen to a song from High Fidelity, which has got a great soundtrack.
Great,
I don't know why we've never played anything off it before. But this is by The Roots from their debut album Organics, and it's called The Anti-Circle.
Yo, I'm the anti-circle, on the mad train like a rain that's purple out storm. Never coming twice in one form, the blacker act a fool and I'm gone. Crumbs busted, past the popcorn, as I kick flavor, behavior abstract, I get recognition. But I represent no religion or sex, so I'm no preacher. But I reach your soul cause I'm stronger than younger. Son of Cassandra, like ganja I grow, from the root like water I flow. Cause 40 for the low or the nappy afro. I still have the pick cause I choose to evict derelicts on the tip trying to diss the man's skit, bust the skit. How many licks do it take to make a fake? Realize that he can't shake, break, or penetrate this style. I demonstrate on a regular basis and face that he ain't no competitor. I said it a second ago. You, I'm the anti circle with the mad style, crushing any mental that be fragile. You don't want to see me get like agile, ripping up the scene, screaming like I was a bad child. Black thought, so hip that I'm square. The rhythm that you hear is from the kids right over there. The rubber band, a question, just one step away. Yesterday was a day away. Attention, you should pay today to the root sticking, boot kicking, wig flipper. I lift the party up and y'all get down like a zipper. The Mr. Hipper Flipper kid, the one who digs the music can be hurting her. Rhythm when I get anti-circular, square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square, y'all. From the square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square. With your spider, with your peepers, is the creeper. Stomping on the ground, smoking a quarter pound reefer. Mr. Five Finger Lead Singer, noise maker, number one, run, I'm rushed, now you must hush. I crush trail mix with the sandal. Five fingers keep a candle. Stick lit when I vandalize, can't see what I is or will be. Only what I was, cause I crush an MC.
Like rock candy.
I'm dandy, happy go lucky, don't touch me, don't play me. Cause I'm not the right one, baby, yeah. Crazy off-key, never talk softly. Blacker than a bean, still I never sweat. Coffee, the fourth beat. Following the third word, second after first. Yo, never rehearse a verse that I'm freestyling. Cause my verse is diverse, I'm Mr. Versatile. Things are easy, yo, and ooh, child, you're smiling. Because you dig the way that I deliver and give her. Stop flowing like I was the Nile River, you shiver. Cause I'm cooler than the coolest, act a fool is like a habit. So, yo, this
trick is for the rabbit. I grab it and snatch it, inspect it like gadget. I works the magic, the mic, I must have it, I'm at it. Kids does depend on the vibe drop. Members who decide to send around at the sit down. Get down, let you know I'm quick to rip and get down. Aim to put white rappers in containers with the lid down, so I seal it. Can you feel it? Many contacts caught on a mad train of black cord. From the square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square. Or from the square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square, y'all. From the square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square. From the square to the circle to the square.
Sit. The quizmaster will decide.
Okay, quizmaster time.
Oh God!
You're on four in a row.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty big one for you.
I just want to get out of this rut. I mean, March,
I did five once.
March and April has just killed me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I did five. Well, we'll see if you get five. Pretty excruciating.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's ringing. We're hoping that the Quizmaster will pick up.
Hello.
There we go. How are you doing?
Well, you sound like you're outside, Quizmaster.
I am, yes. Enjoying the sunshine.
Good stuff. I didn't think Quizmasters... I thought you all lived in caves.
Yes, where?
In caves. Quizmaster, this is incredibly unprofessional. I can hear the bloody tannoy. Are you in a tube station?
Well, it's not good, is it?
Maybe.
Get on with it.
I hope you miss your train. I hope someone pushes you on the track. Right, come on then.
Okay, this week's question has to be quite hard. What I would like to know is...
Get
on with it.
Should we come and start again? Sorry.
No, just get on with it.
It's the worst quiz mastering ever. Come on.
What up? All right, just wait. What I would like to know is, what year was the first Oscars hosted?
Okay, right. You have 30 seconds from now.
Do you know?
No, but I can work it out. right.
Okay. I think it's see that one. So
bad at maths. Wait. Ah, come on! It's not that hard.
Okay, I'm going for it. I think that's wrong.
Right, come on. How long have we got? Oh, we've gone. We've lost it.
Okay, what have you gone?
I haven't done it.
Well, you lose then.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I have. I'm only joking.
This is a joke.
I'm only joking. I went for 1930.
Yeah. I went 1929.
Did you? Okay. Well, this is how bad I am at maths under pressure. It was the 82nd Academy Awards. So
oh, well, then
you've won.
I've won.
I've won.
It's the 78th.
So why did you put 20? What year was it, Quizmaster?
The correct answer is 1929.
Yeah. Boom. See, that is not fair because I can't. Right. See you later. That was terrible. You're fired.
Well, it was terrible, Quizmaster. Terrible.
I have been undone by mental arithmetic.
Yeah, silly.
Yeah, I was first.
You
I was
do the
thinking,
maths now. It's quite obvious. I know it's obvious, mate.
But I thought, I don't know. There's no excuse. I'm sorry.
Well,
I've got to be at maths GCSE.
Well, it's not good. It's not.
Not. It's the pressure, mate. I can't deal with the pressure because I'm trying to count the.
I know
excuses, excuses.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no excuse. And to be honest, it's about time I lost.
Yeah.
So, do you know what you're going to send me to? Or
no,
are you going to have a little think about it?
That film you said looked really bad.
Yes. I shouldn't have said that, really. No. It's called I Come With The Rain, and it's a Chinese thriller starring Josh Hartnett.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks terrible. So I'll tell you a little bit about that then next week.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yes.
About time as well, with a big yawn coming out.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's about time these bloody Easter holidays came about.
It is, yeah. So 3 days off now, lots of sunshine. It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for listening, as always. We'll give you one last chance to hear this week's accent clip.
Oh, I love this clip.
Don't really come down here with your anger, trying to prove something to yourself. This is a world you never understand, and you always fear what you don't understand.
Fear.
That's actually very good.
Yeah, it's all right. It's more New York than Chicago, but, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, the funny thing is...
It's pretty inconsistent all the way through the film, so yeah, it's a justifiable target. So if you think you know that, go to sailyoldheroesradio.com/competition. Yep. Right, we'll rush off now, because Ed's got to run off to Brixton somewhere.
Yeah, got to
make
go
sure you don't
Brixton.
Get attacked by fairy aliens.
I won't.
Quality, thanks very much for listening, everyone. We'll play you out with a song, as always. This is by the Rolling Stones, and it's called Time Is On My Side, from the movie Fallen. See you next week.
It's a great song. Great.
Latest movie news, for previous reviews, or to get in contact with the show, visit celluloidheroesradio.com.